We're in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Real common passage here. The end of the chapter, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11. Everyone carries a burden.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. Everyone in this room tonight carries a burden. In fact, you have one today.
Mm-hmm.
The word yoke is a term used in farming with oxen or mules. It's the yoke is that oval-shaped apparatus that fits over the neck of the oxen or the mule. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've seen them before?
Yeah.
It has chains, mm-hmm. leather straps or ropes that are attached to the plow or whatever those oxen are pulling. And those chains or ropes are attached to that apparatus, the yoke that fits around their neck. In many cases, there's also a wooden beam that these yokes attach to when they're plowing with two oxen.
Right.
Yeah.
That wooden beam fits across the necks of the oxen or the mules and attaches to the yoke. In order to succeed in pulling the load, each ox must be in harmony and work together with the other one. Any disharmony would create much difficulty in plowing and reduce greatly the effectiveness of the work being done.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine two oxen that are pulling a plow and all of a sudden one of them decides he just didn't want to do this anymore? And so he stops or decides he wants to go a hard right or hard left. As much as that one obedient oxen wants to do right, the other one is going to just totally disrupt what's going on, right?
True.
The good master has plenty of clean, refreshing water for the obedient ox.
Mm-hmm.
He also has plenty of hay and feed back at the stall where the ox resides. He gives the ox ample rest at the end of each row that he plows.
Yeah.
In fact, the term is letting blow. If you've ever been plowing with oxen or mules, they get tired.
Mm.
And at the end of the row, what they do is they stop and they just let them and catch up with their breathing. Sometimes he even lets the ox get him a snack while he's plowing. You ever heard the phrase in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox"?
Right.
Why? Because the workman is worthy of his hire.
Right.
That's why they do that. He custom fits the yoke of the ox, making sure that it doesn't wear a sore on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to happen, especially when there's constant pressure on it. He doesn't want to cause the ox any unnecessary pain. The good master has all of this for the disobedient ox as well. However, the disobedient ox fights against the desires of the good master.
Mm.
He kicks against the goad, causing unnecessary pain to his feet.
Yeah.
A goad looks like a long stick with a sharp point. And when the ox is acting up, he would poke his foot. If you've ever been close enough to the foot of an ox or a horse or a mule, the hinder part of their hoof is soft.
Mm-hmm.
Tender, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, you can take that same stick and walk that ox across the back and it doesn't even faze him.
That's right.
But you poke his foot down there with that sharp point and you've got his attention.
Yeah.
The whip must be used to bring the ox back into subjection regularly, creating an unpeaceful day of work for the ox and the good master.
Yeah, true.
The ox was created for a purpose. To plow. To fight against his master in rebellion to his primary purpose only creates a miserable, painful life with days filled with agony as his mind is consumed with trying to do what he wants to do instead of what the master wants him to do.
That's right.
All the while not being able to enjoy all the wonderful benefits that are all around him. It's a rat race. Constantly chasing something that he'll never get. If you think I'm painting a picture that doesn't exist, you've never been on a farm having to plow with that ox.
Yeah. Right. Amen, brother.
I have plowed behind a mule, not oxen, but I've plowed behind a mule before. And it's difficult.
Yes, it is.
The mule we were using wanted it to be difficult. And it was. They do get this mentality sometimes. Now let's read verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us tonight to have our ears and our hearts open to your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, I don't know what your people need, but you do, and I pray that you would help me to deliver your message accurately to them. Lord, I pray that you would help me to see what you want me to see. Lord, help us to change where we need to change. Give us the perspective that you want us to have. And I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I took the time to try to paint the picture for you, an obedient ox, a disobedient ox, the benefits of being obedient, the pain and the suffering of being disobedient. But what I want you to see is that you and I are that ox.
True.
We were created for a purpose.
Amen.
In Psalms 100, the Bible says that we are sheep of His pastures.
Amen.
We don't have a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a purpose aside from His purpose.
Amen.
Yet sometimes as Christians, we go through life following the direction of the world, and that is trying to find our purpose aside from God's purpose. Sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we don't.
Right.
Sometimes we do it because we've been deceived by the great deceiver into thinking that this is okay. when in fact it's not what God designed for us. Our biggest purpose was to be in fellowship with God. God created man for fellowship.
Amen.
Adam and Eve messed that up. Don't get mad with them, though, because if it had been me or you, we would have messed it up.
That's right.
Just as quickly, maybe quicker. But because they messed that up, ever since then, God has been trying to pull us back to Him for fellowship.
Amen.
We were created for fellowship. That's our main purpose. How are we doing with that? Do you have open, clean, clear fellowship with God? You know, sin separates us from God.
Right.
Sin creates a wedge.
Yeah.
And now there's distance between us and God. That's what sin does. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. In fact, when God came down and was walking in the garden, Adam, where art thou? What was Adam doing?
Hiding.
Why was he hiding? He didn't feel comfortable around God. It's the same way we feel when we've sinned. We don't feel comfortable. We avoid the time we should be spending in His Word.
That's right.
Why? Because it's a mirror. We look at it, oh my.
Yeah.
That don't look good. Sometimes we avoid preaching.
Right.
We avoid church. Why? Because it's not comfortable. Remember, God created us primarily for what?
Fellowship
with Him.
Yeah.
And the one thing that causes a problem with that is our sin.
Yeah.
Our sin totally disrupts what God put us here for. The Holy Spirit is constantly working on us, trying to help us to see that what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're looking at is sin.
Yeah.
When He first starts this message, it's loud enough for us to clearly hear and understand.
Amen.
But as we turn it away, turn our ear away from hearing that voice, then that voice becomes more and more quiet. Distant.
Lord, help us.
Whisper in the distance.
Amen.
We don't hear it anymore. So we don't feel bad as we did in the beginning. Now we just continue in that sin and feel okay about it. But we still have an uncomfortable feeling opening our Bible, reading it, or praying. It's just not comfortable. We're not fulfilling the purpose that God put us here for. Think back in the time when you were a teenager. I think we all have gone through that spell where we didn't understand our parents. They didn't understand us, we thought. They had all these rules that we despised. Every day was a battle of the wills. a fight between what you wanted and what they wanted you to do. To say the least, it was a stressful time for them and us, right? During this time, you were seldom, if ever, recognize all the things that you were blessed with. We didn't see it.
That's right.
It wasn't there as far as we were concerned. The agony of rebellion clouded our vision to see our own blessings. The load we carried was unproportionally heavy.
Right.
Why? Because of rebellion. Rebellion also creates a wedge between children and parents.
Yes, it does.
Teenage suicide is at its all-time highest. More teenagers die from suicide than cancer, heart disease, AIDS, birth defects, stroke, pneumonia, flu, chronic lung disease combined. And the cause for this is not only from their rebellion, but sometimes even their own their parents' rebellion to God.
Yes, right.
We jump ahead to the present. We're no longer teenagers. We face unnecessary difficulty in many areas of life for the same reason. Rebellion to God. Remember earlier we were talking about how that when the Holy Spirit says to us, that's wrong, don't do that.
Right.
You hear it in your heart.
Yes, sir.
And you say to yourself, but I like this. I want this.
Right.
I'm going to keep doing this.
Lord, help us.
We say yes to the flesh, and we say no to the Holy Spirit. And then the next time the Holy Spirit tries to convict us of it, it's not quite as bad. In fact, it's easier to say no to the Holy Spirit. It happens again, again, and again. Now, it's okay. It's not okay.
No, sir.
It still has a wedge driven between you and God. Still. You're suffering from it. There's people around you that are suffering from that. We face all kinds of problems. Financial, relational with others, even health, because we're not obedient to God.
That's right.
Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. In other words, he's quiet, gentle, humble, and in total submission to the Father. I believe that that was the absolute hardest thing for him to deal with when he was crucified. Not the pain, the physical pain, but the wedge that was driven between him and the Father as he took on the sins of the world. And the Father had to turn his head. And remember Jesus' words? Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
It was quite easy for Jesus to recognize that wedge.
Yes.
But we've grown accustomed to it.
Oh,
We all carry a yoke. We all carry a burden. But sometimes, the burden that we carry is unnecessarily heavy.
That's good.
We have a term for it. Stress. God didn't expect us to carry 4,000 pounds on our shoulders. He didn't. Maybe 20. Maybe 30. Every once in a while, 40.
Yeah.
But not 2,000 pounds, not 4,000 pounds. It's just not. It's not possible.
Lord help us.
At least not and be happy. To put it plainly, here's the easy yoke of Jesus that he's talking about here in verse 29 when he says, "Take my yoke upon you." That almost sounds like an opposite. What's the word for that? Oxymoron. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're going to carry a burden. One way or the other.
Yes, sir.
His burden is light.
Amen.
His burden is the simple obedience to the Father. Have you become numb to the Holy Spirit about your sin? We all have them. That's why David prayed, "God, show me my sin."
That's right.
I can clearly recognize that I don't even recognize it anymore. Open my eyes to my sin.
Amen.
That's what David prayed. I prayed that the other day, and immediately God brought something to my mind. And I had to go that day and take care of it. It's not easy to die to self and submit to God. But it's even harder not to.
Yes, amen.
In the long run.
That's right.
It's easier to do what self wants today instead of what God wants today.
Amen.
But it's a lot harder that when we decide to do what self wants instead of what God wants in the future, we carry a burden that we weren't meant to carry.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to relieve yourself of this burden, the simple answer is to repent of the sin.
Right.
What sin, Brother Bruce? I have no idea what your sin is. We're not even going to talk about that. But you do.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it might be because you've grown numb to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When is the best time to get that right?
Now.
Today. Pray and ask God, "Lord, show me my sin. Clean up my heart. If I've been doing something I shouldn't have been doing for weeks, months, years, show me. I want to be in full fellowship with you.
Hey.
I don't want any separation between me and you."
No.
Tonight's a good time to make that right.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for this passage that shows us that your load is much lighter than the one that we'll carry. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our sin and to make it right with you. Lord, help us to fulfill your purpose
yes.
in our life.
Please.
And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and turn to 480.